chief scientist for a government contractor.
Yeah. Okay.
And actually, he subbed out Honeywell and UVM and several other places. But anyway, he's very, very, very well placed.
Okay. All right. Great.
And they both did it. First of all, they both listened to him. Mm-hmm. They
yeah.
Sitting in a room on an amplifier system where by the sounds were amplified. It, you know, I mean, it was a big speaker system type thing.
Yeah.
They both listened, well, we all sat in a room listening to tapes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, did you like the quality on them, or was it okay?
Yeah, the quality was all right.
Yeah, okay.
The quality was all right.
Okay.
And then they analyzed them separately.
Yeah.
One guy has the band that our government man who analyzed the last tape analyzed them his way.
Yeah.
And then this other government contractor scientist whose specialty is harmonics and audio something. I can't remember the name. Anyway, some kind of science dealing with sound. So anyway.
Acoustics, you mean?
Pardon?
Acoustics.
Yeah, but they have another name for it. Anyways,
yeah.
He had this other, his own way, and I can't explain it to you because I'm a layperson. I can't explain what he did, but
okay.
He ran it through different machines, and then he graphed it on a computer where the computer graphed the sound. On a paper, just
yeah.
a graph.
Sure. Yeah.
Kind of looked like a polygraph chart.
Right.
Only go real little small. It was
electrograph kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Did all that.
Right.
And that was, they did that Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Sunday afternoon, we sat down and they gave the analysis.
Mm-hmm.
They're both were pretty close. There was a pretty good consensus of the fact her voice, her true voice, was her true voice.
Yeah.
The second voice, which you said was not hers.
Right.
Was her talking through a device, reverb.
Okay, what?
Well, I don't know what she was thinking.
You mean like a remote phone or something?
No.
Okay.
The piece of equipment that her voice traveled through was called a reverb. A reverb is a sound that is sent through a sound again. I mean, it's a machine that amplifies the sound. What it does is sound goes through once, comes back, goes through again.
Yeah.
It's reverb.
Reverb.
Bands have.
Right. Right. Reverberation device. Right. Right. Okay. I follow you.
But we don't know what the machine was, but we know what the item was that this sound came through, and that was a reverb.
Okay.
And what it did was her voice came through, and it was came through again, and what you can do in that, he says, is you get a sound or a voice that is sounds like machine generated. They do this in Hollywood all the time with cartoons and so forth.
Yeah. Okay.
The graph of the chart.
Mm-hmm.
If you run her voice and you get a graph in her voice,
mm-hmm.
and then you run this machine again and filter out that reverb, it's the same voice. It's
yeah.
exactly the same voice.
Okay. Well, I got a call from what was not her. You know, I've recorded a lot of this stuff. That voice said that, and actually, I think I was actually talking to them. And yeah, I know how skeptical you are, but there's something else coming through there that gives you a real sense of paranoia, and they say ultrasound can do that. Okay? But this voice said that you would not be able to distinguish between her voice and the other voice. That's what I was told before you guys even did that. And that's, you know, that's, that pans out to be true.
He did an experiment.
Yeah.
Saturday. I don't know this guy, and I don't, you know, Raven didn't know him until the weekend. This other person, government scientist, brought Raven and me to him.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know this guy, so Raven asked for some sort of a demonstration to verify. So he had he spent probably an hour, more than an hour, must have been probably an hour and 20 minutes,
yeah.
An hour and a half, on a demonstration on how this method he uses can be 99.99% effective. In fact, the FBI uses this guy.
Mm-hmm.
The National Security Agency has used this guy.
You mean replicating voices or?
Well, voice comparisons.
Oh, I see.
Sound comparisons.
Okay.
And he uses this method, which is a state-of-the-art method.
Yeah.
Just really a state-of-the-art method.
Okay.
He developed it himself.
All right. Okay.
And he took our voice and ran it through this voice machine that changes your voice.
Yeah.
And then it's recorded. This other scientist spoke into this. He read a paragraph off a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Into this machine, this other machine that he had in it. And what was recorded, when we listened to it, it doesn't even sound like this guy's voice. Not even close to being his voice.
Yeah.
But they put it on the voice analyzer with his comparison voice to filter it out.
Yeah.
That in exactly the same graph. So, and you put them right up over each other. So it was his voice. I mean, he detected it. It was. Even though there was a machine that distorted his voice, it still came out. He proved that it was this guy's voice.
Yeah.
I mean, this machine, you know, all these machines that he had, these instruments, did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can believe that very easily. Yeah.
So another thing they did.
What about the ones that said, "Hey, cut it off," and then a lot of rough edge noise at the end of
that's
that?
That's it. Yeah. Okay. I was going to get to that.
Oh. Okay.
Finishing her part of it.
Okay.
Another thing they did was they took the tape and they grafted the imprint, the sound imprint, from her voice, her true voice, compared to the machine generated voice. You know that,
right?
When you those tapes, when you record, there's a print on those tapes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the sound. Well, the print, when you graph the print on it, like another machine, on the computer, it's just a graph.
Right.
An up and down type of thing, not a needle type.
Where I follow you. Yeah.
It shows a similar pattern.
Yeah.
Now, the differences are the fact that it was run through this reverb thing.
Right.
That machine then generated.
Right.
So that was a second way of verifying with the voice, with her voice.
Yeah.
Now, the third way of doing it would have been her there, present, and true voice.
Right. That was
analyzed without going through a tape.
That's, we did that in the car. The voice, there's a...
No. I mean, her being right here in a room with the scientist.
Oh, okay.
And analyzing that voice that way.
Okay.
That would have been the third way, but
Okay.
We had two ways, and that's what, the way he did it.
Well, we had, I gave you three examples. One was the machine voice,
right.
One was her voice on the phone, and one was done in the car.
Right. But I mean, they would have to have her here in person, actually do this other third test that he's so famous for.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now the other voice where it said cut it off and the machine, that was done on a tape recorder played through the reverb, which went through the telephone. So in essence, what happened was somebody recorded that on a tape recorder.
Yeah.
Because in there you hear the click of the recorder. You actually hear, it shows it on the graph, the click of the recorder.
Uh-huh.
What they did was they recorded it on a tape recorder.
Yeah.
And then they played it
mm-hmm.
Through the reverb into the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that, that's kind of a double machine generated voice.
Yeah.
And they had the volume. When they had the sensitivity, meaning the person who first spoke into a recorder to take the volume was real high, and then when they played it through the reverb, they turned the volume down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
So it makes it sound real mushy and that sound, but the voice. Is not her voice. It's definitely not her voice.
Right.
Because they can tell. He told me if that's her voice, we can tell.
Yeah.
It's not her voice.
Right. Okay.
The pitch and all these other characteristics of the pattern would indicate it to be a male voice.
Okay. It sounded like me, but that was my personal interpretation of it in a rough voice.
Well, it wasn't you either, because we even did you.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, good. That makes me feel better.
it wasn't you. It wasn't anything we had a known sample of. And we even checked you. It wasn't you. He would, by the voice print, this other method, by the print of the voice, he would say that the person was between 25 and 30 years old, a person that was that English was his first language, that was probably an Anglo rather than any other type of race.
Mm.
I mean, you could tell that off in that print.
Right. Okay.
And you didn't have anything to compare it to other than that.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
And then we talked about what. Of course, now, this guy doesn't have any idea
what this is all about.
We didn't know. We didn't know anything about UFOs.
Right.
The aliens or nothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't told that.
Uh-huh.
He didn't suggest it. We not didn't even mention it.
Right.
He just said we needed this analyzed.
Sure.
He did. And he analyzed it. We said, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then we left.
Right.
And then we sat, the three of us, Raven, this other government scientist, the government acoustic specialist, and myself, we sat and talked.
Mm-hmm.
And he read the letter that you sent to me, the written letter, the Federal Express, that I did get it.
Right.
We read that.
Yeah.
And they're really, really skeptical.
I thought they would be.
And they're, the consensus on Raven's part is that it just isn't happening. He says he knows. He's been in this business for 50 years.
Right.
He knows what is going on. He knows what's going on.
Uh-huh.
He's been through it all.
Right.
And he's seen it all.
Are you, you're fading away on me, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You just kind of getting, I don't know if it's a phone or something.
Sorry, I just kind of moved the phone away from it. I switched gears and I moved the phone away a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So Raven says, you know, they talked a lot, saying, you know, he's heard this before, seen this before. Someone is, he doesn't want to try to speculate on why she's trying to do this or saying this. He thinks it's a psychological problem, and that he knows that it's not what she's saying and what you wrote in that letter is just simply isn't fact. He says it's just not fact. These aliens, number one, are not present here. And if there was some other race, you know, I suggest to him, you know, let's be open-minded about it. And let's say, hypothetically, what if there was another race? I said, Raven, what if, let's just be open-minded here and think it this way. What if there was another race of aliens visiting Earth and we didn't know about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that these other aliens were abducting people and performing some sort of a genetic experiment with us or some other biological or physiological experiment with us.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that feasible? You know, Raven looks at this other guy and he looks at me and he says, that only happens in movies.
Okay.
But what? I mean, you just know that this isn't possible. Raven says, "I know that isn't." He says, "Oh, it's possible. It's possible.
Yeah.
But it's not probable." He said, "If there was any other alien races that we didn't know about, I mean, that we hadn't had contact with here on this planet."
Mm-hmm.
We have a foolproof way of knowing about it. And I said, well, he said, maybe our technology wouldn't detect it. He said, and I agree that we don't have the greatest technology in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not. We're thousands of years behind the Ebens.
Mm-hmm.
But the Ebens would tell us. The Ebens would have a sophisticated early warning system, so to speak.
To do what?
To detect any other alien races coming into here. I'm assuming I wasn't clarified. I'm assuming into the Earth's atmosphere. Maybe he meant solar system, but anyways, because we didn't really.
So he's dependent on those other races to tell him that these other races are there. That's what he's saying.
Depending on the one advanced race.
Right.
The twins. The even that are
right.
Gracious friends.
Right.
That have been, gracious hosts. We've been gracious hosts to them. They have done things that if they were our enemies, they wouldn't have done. They've given us, shown us things that they would never have done.
Yeah.
They're very extremely friendly.
Mm-hmm.
They have warned us, he said, about certain other alien races.
Mm-hmm.
But he said those certain other alien races don't have the means or the capability to travel from where they're at to here. They can't do that now.
Okay.
Maybe sometime in the future, but not now.
Yeah.
So Raven says, I don't take any of this serious because I know the truth. I know that this is happening. And I said, well, how can you explain? And I was trying to be somewhat down the middle, but I was trying to be somewhat of the devil's advocate.
Right.
I'm saying, how can you explain
hundreds and hundreds of women, primarily women, although there are some men, and the would-be streepers that are saying that it is true. He says it's easy to explain. If you went to a psychiatrist to explain this phenomenon, or told him about this, he would explain it in a psychological way, in that these people are reading. He said, you can eliminate 50% of their openers, which we know will be.
I'll give them that stuff. You know, that's easy to do.
Yeah, 50% of the people out there are saying this are openers.
Right.
We proved this by, I don't know, 50%, but we proved this by substation.
Right.
We proved these people were not what will make them. And people came to us later and admitted to us that they made it up. So, if you only have the 50%, so we have 50% of that number, say, we'll say just for sake of argument, 1,000 originally, so you got 500 people that aren't making enough. Then you analyze them statistically, 100 of them are reading it, having it. Some kind of an image implanted into their brain that comes up to them later, or they have a dream, or they have some other experience that they relate back to, but something that they read, and then they have a dream, a vivid dream, and now they're thinking that they have a dream, abducting them to them. They got 400 left. They got 100 of them on medication that causes them to hallucinate or something, so that you got 300 left. Those 300 suggestive somebody, psychiatrists, these people are up and up, unwitting instrument used by a psychiatrist. Psychologists plant something into their brain, and then they exaggerate it, because the brain can do that. I mean, the mind can do that. So then you get 200 of them doing that. So you're down to 100 that are people with, and out of 100, maybe 50 can't be explained. Maybe there's 50 out there that we just can't explain.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my personal opinion of that. I know how, I'm sitting here and I know what I've been through, okay? I can tell you it's been like trying to put you through a washing machine and just put the ring cycle on, okay? Emotionally, I know what I've been through, okay? And it was very real. It wasn't any fabrication or mass hallucination.
You never saw it yet.
I never saw anything, but I experienced a lot of, it's hard to explain psychologically what you experienced in this, but now I'm out of it, and I'm away from it, and I don't feel those things right now, okay?
But let's look at this, and we also discussed this. Let me say this, and then I'll let you comment, okay?
Okay.
We talked about another possibility. In that this woman is either either part of the 50 that we can't understand, or she's part of the unwitting group that maybe somebody's playing a trick on her, or she's a part of a group. I mean, she's a part of that number that it's just hope, and she's trying to convince you it's true. She's trying to convince you that it's true, so you would believe her and be sympathetic towards her. Now, the only way that you're going to be sympathetic and believe her is if you have experienced some of these things that she experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, she is doing these things. She's generating these calls and sounds and so forth. In order to convince you that it's true.
I've heard that argument with other people. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But, you know,
she didn't contact me, I contacted her. You know, it's been 4 years of peace. The recordings you got were made 4 years ago. I don't know what he's done with those tones. But I contacted her. You know, I made the initiative. I started talking about the analysis that she was doing, and that's when contact restarted. And she wanted the examples of the analysis and wanted the results from that because, she wants some kind of proof this stuff was really happening to her. And that's why she was so interested in doing the analysis. She hasn't talked to anybody else except me. She doesn't talk to her husband. She doesn't talk to her friends. She keeps this real...
Yeah.
But convincing me would accomplish what? I don't know.
Well, you're not with her every day. So you don't know that she's telling you that she's not talking to these people. They want to get out of this. I mean, Raven has spent a lot of time, and he knows. At least he tells me he knows. There's nothing in this. There's nothing to it. But, for the sake of argument, and for the fact that maybe the slightest 0.01% that she's telling the truth, and that maybe something is going on that we don't know about, and Dave doesn't know about, he suggested this. He suggested that you do this. That you call her up. Or meet her in person. And discuss this with her. And covertly tape record your conversation. Now, the conversation has to be at least 30 minutes.
I already did that.
She's discussed.
Not in person. It was recorded on the phone. But I got at least 45 minutes of it.
You got it on tape?
Yeah.
Okay. They would prefer it to be in person. And what they're going to do is they're going to do basically a lie detector, a polygraph, based on her voice.
Okay.
I'll send
the cassette on it if you want that, but I can't. It's hard to, you know, I got it on the phone lines, but, you know, right now she doesn't want any more contact until she finds out in June what she's going to do with this. But Jerry asked me right away, he said, you know, what were the two, you know, what's interesting is that these people describe the same things that Raven knows about. Their descriptions are the same. Okay?
Who did?
Physical descriptions, you know. This lady in New Paris.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And I sent her pictures out of the UFO live show that I have blown-ups of.
Let me ask you this.
Right. Talking about her. I'm talking about lots of people who don't go around reading these kind of books.
Okay. Gave us very brief biological data on her.
Right.
We need as much, without her name, like a date of birth, not a date, but a date of birth. We need a physical description, or a picture, if at all possible, for this guy, but a physical description, detailed a description, like 5 foot, 520 pounds.
Right, the high cheekbones.
Right.
High forehead, puffy lower, cheek areas.
Yeah.
High cheekbones. And
another thing Raven would like, and I don't know why he would like this. I mean, he doesn't tell me everything, but it really perked my curiosity. He says, if you can get a piece of the fingernail, or the best thing, if you get it, just a drop of the blood.
DNA check.
Okay.
Right. We already thought about that too.
But what he can do is he can actually determine from this test. He says we can determine 1,000 different factors regarding her, and if in fact she's been altered.
Yeah. Okay.
Now,
well,
what my question, in all sincerity, is that if there hasn't been any aliens visiting us and they have an older human, why did he mention that they could find out if she was? You know, I didn't ask him that, but I thought maybe he's not telling me at all. Maybe we had some control experiments at some time where you're a human and maybe they did do some experiments under our control conditions. Now, he mentioned several years ago about control experiments that occurred between aliens and us. And he didn't go into details on it.
Yeah, because Hawk knows about that. Okay? He mentioned that stuff to me.
But they do a lot of things. But anyway, if you can do that, if you can get that, that's the best. At least we can get it. There's a tape where they're discussing this, about the aliens, about her talk, and they can analyze it and say, she's making it up, or no, she's this, or she's that, or whatever.
Well, I got 45 minutes of that on the phone the other day.
Okay. You can send it.
Okay. And
and if you can get any fissure, that's all we're going to do. Now, if something comes up, then, of course, they're going to be extremely interested, and they're going to go from an unofficial mode to an official mode, he said. But if nothing develops from this, then we're just going to say, we did this as a favor.
Yeah. Well, let me regurgitate. I got a call from this, quote, machine voice on Tuesday of last week. And
what time was it?
About 8 o'clock.
2000?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I placed the call to her. Her son answered the phone and said, just a minute. And I thought that it was her getting on the phone, except it wasn't her for me talking to her on Saturday. It was this other voice, and this other voice told me quite a bit.
Did you record it?
No, I didn't record it.
You called her.
I called her.
And the voice got
and
out.
Then this what sounded like her, but it wasn't her, because it was all, this voice normally sounds tired. It doesn't sound like the natural her. It does, and it leaves me with a very paranoid feeling.
But her son answered,
but she said when she came into the house to pick up the phone, there was nobody on the phone. But I was talking to somebody else when she was picking up the phone.
For how long?
Huh? Oh, for about 30 minutes. But anyhow, this other voice told me quite a bit about what happened with you people. and then this government thing, well, first of all, it told me that you wouldn't be able to distinguish between the two voices, her voices, the machine voice and her voice. They said they would not be able to tell any difference. And they were right about that.
They were right about that.
Yeah. Okay. I wonder how they know so much. And also, too, they said that, that she, meaning her, was not 100%. So that there was loyalties to both her, them and to her and to the human race. And they also said that any government knowledge of their activities would disrupt the whole thing. And they also said that they're doing this to preserve their race. They said that for genetic reasons they have to do this. And I said, why don't you just ask for volunteers? And they said, the voice just said, Bob, think a minute. You have to start somewhere. So I'm just telling you what I was told. And they visited her Sunday night, according to her, and they treated her like a misbehaving child. That if she gets out of line, you know, that somebody finds out about her, that she could be causing a lot of problems for herself. So they said Dietrich, the entity that normally has been taking care of her for 24 years, and a group of the others were right in her living room that Sunday night. They said they freaked out when we arrived there for the PFS meeting, financial briefing that day, and they were watching us, and well, they thought we were all government agents. And they really got upset with her. Now, I'm just telling you what she told me. And, I mean, I had two people with me, and I know how nervous she was, and that she broke a vase and broke a glass right in front of us, right in the living room. And I had two other people there, witnesses, to see she was kind of...
This is her house?
Yeah, this is her house. And she was very, very, very freaky and very upset. And but she said the visit, actually, she was very nervous because we were there, because she knew that she wasn't supposed to give us directions to get there. And the visit occurred that Sunday night when she was alone by herself in the living room last Sunday night.
Did she see him?
See what?
The alien.
Oh, yeah, they were right there. She said there were a group of them. And
how did they arrive?
Right, you know, beam me down, Scotty, kind of thing. They just arrived. They were there, she said, and they were very upset with her because of, they said they weren't angry, they just treated her like a misbehaving child who they felt very close to. And she says that she was shown abilities, that she has abilities that she didn't know she had. And we're talking about paranormal abilities, that she said that when she started doing some of this stuff, they said, you know, you can do that. And she started doing it. She said it scared the crap out of her. And she said she doesn't know if she wants to do that again. But she has this phenomenal ability to run 22 hours a day and get 2 hours sleep and do this for 6 months to a year at a time. She counsels dysfunctional people. And she just goes. I mean, she just has incredible energy. And she doesn't know how she gets all this stuff. And she has these abilities that she says she's concerned and scared about, because other people could have these abilities and be misusing them. But she's not a, to me personally, she's not a kook. She's a very professional person with a very extremely driven, who just doesn't, she's very factual, and she just doesn't sit there, to me at least, and fabricate things. And she's too internally consistent. She's too, well, you'll see when you listen to the tape. You'll see that when you listen to the tape. I don't know, you know, what, you know, I can't, Raven has all this experience and he has all this knowledge and he knows these, he thinks he knows these visitors very well, and I can't, you know, I don't know what to say about that. All I can say is what I know about her, and you know, these phone calls that I'm getting, and you know, is, you know, what's the reason for them, what's the end for them. They don't, this, and by the way, Ernie's been getting these things.
Ernie?
Yeah. And there have been death threats against him. And he says he's gotten, over the couple of months, he's been getting a number of them.
Well, I'm just passing on to you what...
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of try to be as open-minded as I can.
Right.
I just don't want to be closed-minded. But I just, based on what Raven told me, and based on my experience, you know, and I've investigated these alleged abductions, many, many of them, and we've not one single ounce of evidence was ever generated to prove that they were real. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
On the contrary, the abundance of information shows that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just based on that, I kind of lean towards that. It's difficult for me to believe that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to be open-minded and think that maybe there is a chance that there's some other race here, or maybe that there's a renegade group of Ebens. I mean, that our friends that are renegades, that are out doing all these things because they're kind of have a free reign of this planet, and that they're doing it, and they're trying to make it look like somebody else is doing it. You know, I'm trying to think of all sorts of things. Yeah, I read a lot of science fiction books, and I read a science fiction book several, gosh, I don't know, 10 years ago probably, that Bill Moore gave me, and it was a, what's his name, Asimov, was one of his. And it was about an alien race that was going to this planet, and they were going to explore it and look at it. And the civilization was much primitive than theirs, but they were smart. The civilization was smart, so the aliens thought they went down and became friends with them. And, hey, you know, we were your friends, and we were showing you all these new things. But a renegade group of these aliens decided that they were going to go have some fun, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they did all these terrorizing things, and well, when the people came back to the aliens saying, hey, somebody's terrorizing us, not us. It can't be us. So I'm just thinking that maybe that could be the explanation.
Yeah. I don't know. What about the tones? Do they look at the tones, the pitch tones on that thing, or do they just look at the voices?
No, they did the tones. The tones are generated by the machine, by the tape recorder.
Yeah.
And the reverb. And the sound, you know, when the reverb reverberates it, sends it back through the second time. And this machine sound, it just amplifies it.
Yeah.
It distorts it a little bit, and it amplifies it.
Yeah. Yeah. But is there anything in the tones themselves, any messages, any subliminal stuff?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I can't explain it except that... you know, from what she tells me, I certainly, when I have contact with her, I've been in her house, and she has an answering machine and a phone, and two kids, and a husband, and it's a very standard, conventional house with nothing fancy around or any, you know.
What's her husband do?
He's a blue-collar worker who works in a local factory. She's been married for 20 years. And the thing about it is the children can sit down and draw pictures of these things. She doesn't have these books in her house, okay? What's amazing is, what I don't understand with these people is the kids can draw these things, and the kids can talk about these things. And they can draw these same kind of pictures that appear in the UFO live show. And how they know these things... if they had never had contact with them, how can they describe those same things? And that's why I like to ask Raven, or how you get this internal consistency going on if you're going to explain away all this stuff. And that's my biggest question. And it bothers me a lot.
Okay, well, if you give me those things, we'll...
What's that?
Hold on, my daughter.
Okay.
Okay. If you can give me those things, we'll analyze that.
Okay.
So you can get us.
Okay. Well, she says she wants to wait till June until all the pressure's off. Right now, she's going through training. She's still working. She's been working 40 hours straight this last in the last 3 or 4 days. And so she's under a lot of pressure, she says, right now. She wants to get the pressure off from before she decides what to do about this whole thing. And so in June, you know, she's going to make a decision whether or not to get the government involved. And that's what she told me.
Okay.
And, But, you know, she is, you know, I don't know. My judgment is concerned.
Would she be willing to meet with other people?
It depends on how she feels in June about how she feels about this whole thing, because they are very much trying to protect her. And because of her, you know, this becoming a freak show. And they're very concerned about, she as I am too, if these things are legitimate, that if in fact people do find out about it, that she won't be able to live a normal life. And you know, she's over in New Paris, Ohio, and it's out in the farm somewhere, out in the farm country. It's not exactly, she's surrounded by the kind of people that would have bad influences on her, or that she would be off on that kind of track that Raven, I think, talks about.
Okay, well, I gotta run.
Okay. Well, I'll send it down to you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right,
I'll see you. Bye-bye.